Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Chelsea Stratton from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And it is Monday, September 25th, and I just feel like this season is really like on a roll right now.
Yeah, I agree. it's really fall.
But in a good way. On a roll in a good way. I'm excited. Yes, yeah. I love this time of year.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite times of year too. Well, let me just start and mention that this episode is once again sponsored by Cozy Earth. We love our Cozy Earth products. And if you aren't familiar with them, they are the perfect company to give the gift of a good night's rest. They have been on Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row, 2018 through 2022. And all the products are made from responsibly sourced viscose from bamboo. They have a 10-year warranty. So if you're not happy, you can return it and get a full refund. They also have loungewear with comfort and flattering, elegant fits. And of course, what we love is our Cozy Earth sheets. Just remember also, you can use the code AQUILTINGLIFE for a 35% discount site-wide.
And now that it's cooling off, I am all about that loungewear.
Yes.
So just got to say.
They have some really great options.
Yeah, it's comfy. Okay, so Mom has the quilts today, and they are so bright and cheery. The first thing I noticed was the quilting on this one. So I'm going to let you take it away and talk about those.
Okay, yeah. Quilt on the Table. I love this quilting design too. This was done by Marion Bott, and it's just such... It's the perfect quilting design for us. She comes up with some wonderful, wonderful patterns.
She does. It's really, really cute.
Yeah. And this was actually an older pattern of mine, but when I revised it, I decided to include 7 sizes in the new pattern. So it goes all the way from baby all the way up to king for this one. And it's a really simple block, but it has kind of a fun little construction method where you aren't actually using sashing, but it looks like they're sashing and no seams to match. Yeah. And then also if you look down at the front, you can see that I've substituted a few of the squares with the cheater hexagon fabric. It actually works to trim those down, fussy cut them, and they can work perfectly for these blocks. And again, 7 different sizes for this one.
You never said the name.
Oh, Foursquare. Yeah, so Foursquare, and on the wall is Getaway, and love this one too. This is my honey bun quilt for this time, and it's actually 1 honey bun and 1 layer cake does all of the blocks. And love, love, love this one too. I actually figured out when I was making it that you could actually add another row with your honey bun and layer cake.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it depends on how particular you are about which fabric combinations you put together, but you actually could make it a touch bigger and make 6 more blocks if you're...
I would probably do that.
Yeah.
Just make it a little bit bigger.
Yeah. And then also, I'm going to have Billy pop up a picture because our friend Nancy Lane just made this quilt in Favorite Things, and it's super cute. So I'm going to get a picture taken and have Billy pop that up.
Yeah.
Because it's fun in any collection, and yeah, I love this. Also, I did add in a couple extra fat eighths because I wanted
more variety
in the backgrounds for the stars. So,
and I love the custom quilting.
Yes, and that one, thank you. That was quilted by Val Krieger.
Yeah, very cute.
Yeah. Okay, I think before we get started, we have a couple things we want to talk about. Do you want me to talk about my trip that I just got back from first?
Yes, actually, okay. I do want you to talk about it. Okay. Mom had a lot of fun up in Utah from when we're filming this past weekend. So tell everyone about your adventures, Mother.
Yes. So I was invited to go give a presentation at a trunk show presentation at the Peach Days Quilt Show held in Brigham City, Utah, in conjunction with the Peach Days Festival that the town holds. And I actually have a friend here whose husband grew up there. And I mentioned that I was going up there, and she said, oh, you're going to love it. And she said, you have to get a peach shake while you're there. So anyway, a wonderful, wonderful experience. The women were so nice, and it was just a beautiful auditorium that I was able to give the presentation in, and they also had the quilt show just in another room in that same building. And it's a new event. This was just their third year, but they're doing a fabulous job, and I just really recommend, if you're ever up in that part of Utah for the Peach Days time of year, which would be the week after Labor Day weekend, I highly recommend. And we did go to a little restaurant called Peach City, which has been in operation since 1937. And we got our peach shakes, which were amazing.
Look at you.
So amazing. And I texted my friend a picture of the cover of the menu, and she said, "That's it. You found the right place." And yeah, that peach shake was...
It was very good.
Very good.
Was it a peach milkshake?
A milkshake. Okay. Yeah. And it has actually pieces of peaches all the way through it. So you have to eat it with a spoon. It's not going to go through a straw.
Yeah.
Because
it's too thick.
Yeah.
The consistency is.
Yeah. And we got an order of fries to eat with our shakes, and those were good too.
There is nothing like hot, crispy fries.
Yes.
With like ice cream.
Right. It was so good.
So good.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And thank you to so many of the women who came up and said hello. They are friends of our podcast and of the blog. And it was really nice to put names with faces for some people that I had met on, you know, on Instagram or online.
Well, you really do. You feel like you've created connections online.
Right.
And I think that goes into the next thing is, Ma, can I make the announcement?
Yes, I was hoping you would.
So we are going to be attending Quilt Market this fall, and we're very excited to be there. Thank you, Billy.
Yes.
We will have a booth right next to the Moda booth area, and we're just really excited. We're hoping to meet a lot of people, a lot of faces that we love online, and people that we're already obviously good friends with. So we will be there.
Yes.
And have a booth, and we're really excited about it.
And just to make it clear, Quilt Market is not open to the general public. It is an event for professionals in the industry. So the types of people that will be there are
shop owners,
sewing machine companies, long arm companies, fabric companies, pattern designers, fabric design, all people in the industry. And we actually have not attended since October 2019.
Yeah.
And then it was completely shut down until last year was the first kind of a soft reopening, I feel like. So hopefully this year it's really back to normal.
Yeah, and there's more people there. And we've seen other quilt shows open, obviously, since last year. And it's going to be nice getting back with our Moda family. I think that's a huge thing for us. We haven't seen our family in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And we're blessed enough to still have been able to see like our friends like Vanessa Gertzen, but not everyone lives close to each other.
Yeah.
So there's people that I need to give a big hug.
Yeah. It's exciting to think. You mentioned Janet Claire is going to be there.
Oh my goodness. I'm
from the
so
UK.
Excited.
We can get all the details on the, across the pond from her.
Yes. She is such a lovely person, and I could just talk to her all day. I need to give Deb Strain a hug.
Yeah. We're also really excited. Our Australian Moda designers are going to be there, Janelle Kent and Jen Kingwell. I saw their names on some of the materials. So.
Yeah. And this is, I think, why we love going and traveling places for like a trunk show, though, or other things like classes, though, because it is open. That's like public, and that we want to see you guys, too. And so I was kind of like a little jealous I wasn't up there with you this past weekend. I'm like, whoa, I do everything with Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
there were a couple shop owners at that event, the Village Dry Goods shop in Brigham City, Utah. I had met Fran, the owner, for several years and have known her. And then also Handmade is Heartmade.
Is Heartmade, love.
Mother-daughter team, they were at the event. So it was really fun.
Kind, good people.
Yeah, and I feel like both of them told me that they were going to be at Quilt Market too.
They're both going to be. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting to hear more people saying that they're going.
Right.
I just, it's time, you guys. It's time.
We're excited. So, yeah. We'll have lots to report on that after.
Yeah. And sharing pictures and videos and stuff. So stay tuned for all of that.
Okay. First, before I we do have some listener quilts to share today, but I want to mention again the quilt behind me. This is the Garden Star Sampler. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We'll change these quilts out behind me maybe every month, which would make it like every 2 to 3 episodes on the podcast. But I noticed on the last episode that was released, a lot of people were asking what it was. And no matter what, whether I mention the quilts or not, moving forward, I'll always have it linked in the description or listed in the description. It'll say the quilt behind Billy on the wall. And so if I don't mention it, if we've already talked about it, then you can always look in the description and we'll have that listed in case you're wondering. So with that, though, we do have some listener questions. I'm going to go ahead and pull up, not listener questions, excuse me, listener quilts. That's for another day next month. And the first one is a picture of my mom's 2020 Block of the Month quilt.
2022.
Wow, I'm all over the place today.
Makes me feel good that I'm not the only one that misspeaks sometimes.
Yeah, Billy.
Oh, yeah. So it says, attaches my version of Sherry's 2022 Churn-Block of the Month. I downloaded the monthly patterns, not yet knowing what fabrics to use or when I would get around to making it. So it was added to my long to-do list. But that's also a good point, is that she downloaded them each month, because, you know, if you like the patterns and you don't have time to make it right away, it's actually smart to do that, because my mom takes them off of being for free after the end of the year, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because yes, download them and just save them.
Yeah.
Because I do. I put them up in my shop. You can always purchase them later, but I take, you know, they're free for that entire year. And then when I start the new program, then only those patterns are available for free.
Because you need to make room for them.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I thought they were just always available on your blog through the years.
No, because my storage would be crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Had everything remaining up there. So.
Yeah. So even if you never make it, I mean, they're free block patterns. And then if you don't, you don't. If you do, then you have them.
Yeah, keep them in a separate file folder for each year, and you can go back to it.
And I also do make the older ones available for guilds and shops. If they want to use them, just contact me for previous year patterns.
Yeah.
If you want to use, for example, the 2022 project in 2024, just message me and I'll work that out with you.
Yeah.
So continuing on here, it says, in October, I stopped at a quilt shop, one of about 5 on my way home from a women's retreat. No plans to purchase, just to smell, touch, and look at more eye candy. Well, I saw some fabric that I just had to have to make a quilt for the Teardrop Camper. It was a mix of camping and nation parks themed. I can't remember the name of the makers of the fabric lines, but I bought a yard of each fabric, not yet knowing what pattern to use. Well, your November churn-pattern made its way to my box, and I decided that was the pattern for my camping fabric. I couldn't start on making it right away, as I will only work on 3 projects at a time. It was during 2020 that I realized I had over 20-ish quilt tops in various stages of progress, so I made the decision to finish all of those before I did anything else. Some were donated as I knew I was no longer interested in completing them. So as I worked through to get a flimsy finished, I decided to make room in my sewing desk for only 3 ongoing projects at a time. I was finally able to start this quilt in February. I needed to make it bigger to fit the queen bed in our Teardrop Camper. The mix of camping themed fabrics included a panel that I used inside one of the churn dashes with a few other blocks. The backing is the same as the blue border. I like how it turned out and can't wait to sleep under it at the Teardrop Camping Gathering at the end of September. Thanks for a wonderful pattern and great podcasts. And that is from Teresa in Wisconsin. So now, is that actually, though?
She made extra blocks.
Okay, I was just going to say, looking at it again.
Because, you can tell that it's bigger than my finished quilt.
But is it all of the quilts from the 2022 Block of the Month, or was it just the no... No, it's multiple blocks. It's
yeah, not just I think November. She made multiples of every okay. month block. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's really cool. I mean, yeah. it goes into a camper trailer, and it's national park themed fabrics and yeah. all that. That's really cool.
It's really super cool.
Yeah, really fun quilt. Thank you for sending that.
Yeah. Okay, so the next quilt I'm going to share is actually one from Chelsea's Regal Pines Sew Along. It's a Regal Pines quilt, and it was made from, let me get her name real quick, from Ruth's stash. So she was, you know, she liked the pattern, and she didn't make it in Favorite Things or in Bountiful Blooms, but she used her stash fabrics to make it. It really turned out really great. So,
so we'll have, pretty.
It is such a gorgeous version.
And I actually showed Chelsea before we filmed today. Yes,
you finally remembered, you guys, and it really is really pretty.
Yeah.
I love it. I love seeing all the Regal Pines quilts that are being shared. We have a ton on the Facebook group that are being shared.
A lot. And we love seeing them use your stash. We love seeing all of them. So it's been...
That's why I was excited about it. I'm like, whoa, they just chose to use their stash. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And there's one more picture we're going to share from a listener. And in the last episode when Chelsea was sharing her quilts... My mom's Stanley mug. I have a funny story about that.
It's actually here today, too.
Dun, dun, dun.
So my mom just sort of randomly mentioned, oh, my cup matches
the collection
on the wall or whatever, or the piece of fabric. And so anyways, we had a listener write in that, you know, Chelsea made me smile on the YouTube episode this morning when she mentioned your mug matching the quilt. I thought the same exact thing as I've looked over to my mug, and I'll pop this picture up because she has... The stickers from your what collection?
Strawberry lemonade.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I was making sure that was right. So it's the same color cup as my mom's, but it has your stickers from your collection on there.
Right. And it's so cute. I really saw the picture of that. Yeah.
I know. I might have to put some stickers on mine.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a funny story real quick about Stanley cups? Because Isabel, my fiance, I think she was maybe watching the podcast as well, and she saw that you guys had those. Well, anyway, she asked me one day, she said, hey, how much does a Stanley Cup cost? And now, me being a sports person, I was just like, and I think she texted me that, and I said, you know, it's invaluable. There's no price on it.
They're priceless.
And then she continued and going on about it, and she's like, well, I was wondering because I saw that, you know, your mom and sister have one. I'm like, my mom and sister have like a replica of the Stanley Cup. I've never seen that. And it finally hit me. I the whole time we had this whole like conversation of, I thought she was talking about the NHL Stanley Cup, the one the Golden Knights just won. And the whole time she's talking about your cups. And she was like looking for one online, but they're hard to find or something, I guess. Yeah. And it finally hit me. I'm like, oh, that's what you're talking about, my mom's cup that she uses on the podcast. I thought Isabel was asking me, which I found ridiculous because I'm like, you know what the Stanley Cup is? It's not for sale.
Can I tell you something really funny now?
Yeah, go for it.
While you were just talking about this, I thought you were talking about our Stanley Cups.
Oh.
And I, as like someone who adores my Stanley Cup, was like, it is totally priceless. Like,
oh, that's funny.
But you're aware of what the real Stanley Cup is.
Once I realized, I'm like, oh, he's talking about the Stanley Cup.
Yes, the Stanley Cup. Anyway.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Hey, but, that's fine. Did she ever find one or... Maybe I can get her one for Christmas.
Yes. We need to talk, actually. There's something I really want to give Isabel. Yeah.
Okay. As far as I know, that she doesn't have one yet, so maybe.
but you should take that as your cue to buy her. You should have been like, oh, I see what's happening here. She's hinting for me to buy her a Stanley Cup. And Billy's over here like, I cannot physically buy you the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think the reason she asked the question is she found one online, but she was worried it was a knockoff because it was too cheap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, yes. But I don't know.
And they do sell out pretty quickly. When they come out with the new colors, they're gone.
Which now I'm jealous and I want a strawberry red or an apricot orange now because mine is just like blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really funny, though, because my dad, everyone in the family was getting Stanley Cups. And my other brother brought his fiance down, and she has a Stanley Cup. And he was, like, kind of feeling left out. And so when mom got the new cup,
I gave him my old
one. Dad got the old cup, and he feels very cool because he has a Stanley Cup now. Yes.
Wow, I'm way out of the loop because I looked at those and I never thought anything of them. I just, okay,
your brother doesn't have a Stanley Cup.
My girls, grandma bought them each a Stanley Cup for school, for back to school.
Wow, okay.
And they like take it to school but every day. Theirs have handles and then you can flip it up and drink out of it so it doesn't spill. And they just like love it. They go to school with their Stanleys and it's like the thing.
Yeah, they don't have these handles.
Yeah, they have a handle,
at the top.
On the top.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I learned about that today. And so did everyone else. In case you didn't know what Stanley Cup was, I'm sure you know what it is now. All right. Well, thank you for everyone that sent in those pictures today. Those were great. And I think now we're ready to jump into today's topics. And the first one, I'll go ahead and introduce it, is we're going to talk about pre-cut friendly quilts or fabrics, because it's something I thought of as we do all these quilt videos, and we just got done running through all of the strawberry lemonade quilts that are now all featured on the YouTube channel. I hear my mom and sister say it all the time, you know, this quilt is fat quarter friendly or fat eighth friendly or layer cake friendly. Well, first, why don't you go ahead and name all the pre-cuts real quick?
Okay. You want to do that or?
I want you to name all the pre-cuts, Billy.
I can't. Oh.
Okay.
We'll start from the smallest. The smallest pre-cut is the mini charm, and they are 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch squares. And when you purchase those from Moda, you get 42 squares, which include one of every print in the collection, and some of them are usually duplicates. Most collections don't have 42 different prints, so you do get some duplicates.
The next pre-cut is a charm pack, 5 inch by 5 inch squares. Same thing. You get 42, correct, in the charm pack, and duplicates as well.
Yeah. Okay, now the next one, I'm going to say the next smallest is the layer cake, which is a package of 42 10-inch by 10-inch squares. And same thing as the charm packs and the mini charms. You get one of every print and some duplicates.
Guys, I love this. I like love being so animated. The next pre-cut, I would say, is a jelly roll.
Ooh, and I don't know.
You think it has more fabrics than a fat eight?
What about a honey bun?
Oh, a honey bun. Okay. I will say honey bun. Okay. That is 1.5 inch strips. And do you get 42 in those?
You only get 40.
You only get 40.
Yeah.
But there are still duplicates because some collections still don't have 40 prints.
Right. 1.5 inches by the width of fabric.
Oh my goodness. What would I do without you? I forgot the honey bun.
Okay. And then next is the jelly roll. Yes. 2.5 inch by width of fabric. And there are 40 also. And that used to mess me up when I first started designing because I thought, oh, there should be 42, like but there's 40.
Yeah, you have to be careful when you're designing a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is a fat eighth, and those are 9-inch by 22-inch cuts of fabric pieces, and one of my favorite pre-cuts, and just the amount of fabrics that are in the collection. So even if, say, one of our collections has 32 SKUs, you only get the 32 SKUs in a fat eight. But say a collection has 40, you're getting 40 SKUs in the fat eight.
Right. Yes. And that's why you'll see that the prices for those fat eights vary, depending on how many. Yes. And then the last one is the fat quarter bundle, the king of the pre-cuts. And those cuts are 18 inches wide. They are 22 inches. I usually, for my pattern's sake, kind of figure it at 21 just to be safe.
18 by 21. I was going to say that, but it's 22 inches on the label. But guys, I never.
That includes the selvage.
It
usually
includes the selvage.
Yeah. So I do
it's
my
not
math
usable
with 21.
Yeah.
You know, 18 by 21 or 9 by 21.
So in our patterns, you can feel pretty good about knowing that the fat quarter bundle will, because we,
Yeah. And also sometimes included with the fat quarter bundles, sometimes if there's a panel, it's included. Sometimes it isn't. And with the case of our strawberry hexagon lemonade trader print, it's not included in that fat quarter tower.
Only as yardage. Only so as that yardage. Would be something just as yardage.
And I think it's because that is a 60-inch wide fabric. So it's different. You'll have to do your research on that. And again, that's why the price will vary.
I do want to say one more thing, though. There is a bonus pre-cut that recently has made some waves with some designers. It's 5-inch strips
with the fabric.
5 inches. Yeah. But it's kind of like a specialty pre-cut is what it is. So I'm not going to include it because you're not really going to see it in like the catalog a lot. It would be for like a specific pattern or a kit or something like that Moda does.
We should mention the Jolly Bar too, which is Fat Quarter Shop exclusive.
Exclusive to Fat Quarter Shop, the Jolly Bar. Fantastic. It's 5 inches by 10 inches, correct? Right. Yeah.
And
they do patterns with them, like specific patterns, Jolly Bar patterns. And they just talked about a couple of ours on Instagram with Bountiful Blooms.
Yeah. And it does save you money because it's cheaper to buy a Jolly Bar than to buy two charm packs. And plus you have the longer, you know, you have 10 inches of length instead of 5 inches. So that's a really great pre-cut that they have come up with.
Yeah, Kimberly is, she's on top of it, guys.
Do you have a favorite pre-cut?
Well, okay. Hold on, we'll get to that.
Oh, are we going to get to that?
Is
that
a question?
Well, hold that thought.
But I want to ask real quick about that five. Is there a name for that 5-inch one?
The Jolly Bar. Oh, no, the other 5-inch.
I don't know.
I don't think there is a name.
I don't think there is. It was brought to our attention recently. I hadn't even heard of anyone doing that.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay, so there's no official label for that.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, sometimes Moda will bring in, you know, they did those hexagons for us, those pre-cut hexagons.
Yes, they did the pre-cut hexagons.
And then some other designers ended up doing those as well. And I've also seen in the past where they did 3.5-inch squares if somebody had a pattern.
Do a specific.
Yeah, I think Bonnie, Camille's mom, had a pattern one time and they did a special pre-cut.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really, there's a lot of fun things though. Can I talk about the extra that Fat Quarter has with just talking about like specialty types of things? So Fat Quarter Shop is using strawberry lemonade for the 2024 Make-A-Wish charity quilt.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. If you haven't seen it, I want to actually pop up a picture if we can.
Okay. Do you have Billy? If you have a picture, I don't have one.
Well, I can get it from Fat Quarter Shop.
Okay.
Or maybe I shouldn't.
They've shared it.
Yeah, they've shared it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's Make-A-Wish 2024.
Yeah.
Okay.
2024 with strawberry lemonade. And they actually wanted to add a separate SKU that's not in the bundle for the background. And it's our circle dot print in navy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's beautiful. And we were like, wow, what an addition. Yeah. And they were like, no, we want it in navy. And so they were like, we're adding this SKU to the collection. It was very, very cool that they kind of had a vision for that, because I was like, really? Like navy? And then I saw it and it was so cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Really gorgeous.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm glad you guys defined what each and every pre-cut was, because that will lead into the rest of the topics. And like I was saying before, you guys mentioned all those is that, you always say this is layer cake friendly, fat quarter friendly, fat eighth friendly, etc. So maybe some people know exactly what they all are, but maybe some more new beginner quilters weren't aware of actually what all they are. But when you use the terminology, let's just use fat quarter friendly, can you clearly define what that means? Does it mean that if you buy one fat quarter bundle, you will be able to make an entire quilt, or is there something more that you need to purchase?
That depends from pattern to pattern, actually. Yeah. So you'll just have to look at the back of the pattern to see if there's anything else that's required. We do have some things that work with just that pre-cut, but sometimes you need to add background fabric or sashing fabric, inner outer borders. You always will need to add binding, unless the pattern uses a scrappy binding made from
the fabrics.
So, but generally, backing most of the time, a Fat Quarter Shop actually has done some layer cake quilts where they have you sew the extra layer cake squares together for the backing.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the pattern, but that's a great question.
So, but at least it will, you'll be using that entire pre-cut in the quilt.
Yes.
A good majority of the fabrics.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A majority of it. Yeah. So, but friendly doesn't necessarily mean that's it, but
right.
But it, you're going to use the majority of it.
Okay. I would say also that friendly means that it makes it easier to do the cutting for that pattern if you use that pre-cut, wouldn't you say?
I like that, actually. Yeah, because you do think of that. You think of the cutting for sure when,
Yeah.
So it makes it a little more simple on that end.
Yeah.
Because you could make any quilt pattern with just off of a bolt, fabric. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So then the next thing I would say is, so for staying with the topic of beginner quilters, what would you say would be the easiest pre-cut for a beginner to use, or is there no difference? It just depends on the quilt pattern.
Well, I think there are a lot of beginner friendly charm pack patterns, and that's the first pre-cut that I ever used. I remember thinking that a fat quarter bundle was really pricey and out of my range, but I could buy a charm pack and I could make a table runner or a baby quilt. What do you think?
I was actually gonna say a layer cake, because you're getting four times the amount of fabric from a charm pack. That's the only reason, because I could make a bigger project with it. Plus, it's less ironing. It's just all the squares. I would prefer a layer cake if you're someone who's like, yeah, I'm ready to make a quilt. Like, I'm going to start this. And you might even have some fabrics left over. Yeah. So
I feel like layer cake really is one of the most versatile. And that's why back in the day before I was designing fabric, when Moda used to send me fabric, just they would send a box of, and they were called designer rolls. And so basically a layer cake. Back in the day. Yeah. But it was basically a layer cake just rolled up and tied with a string, not flat. And that's what they would send to pattern designers all over the world as sample fabrics to design new quilts with. And so I feel like those layer cakes are just really, really versatile.
Can I just say something about this? This was happening while we lived in the old house.
Yeah.
And this is when my mom's sewing room was adjacent to my bedroom. And she had these Elfa drawers, right? And I would go in and rummage through all of these fabrics, the rolls of them that were like layer cake squares. And I would get so excited about them. And in that moment, I never thought once this is what I would be doing.
Yes.
And so that is what's crazy about you talking about this, is I would go through there and kind of tease my mom and be like, oh, you know, sewing your life away. Like, and here I am, guys. So that's really cool you brought that up.
And
that's,
you know,
so crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, typically they would sometimes send me a jelly roll of something or a fat eighth, but they mostly sent layer cakes. And that's why a lot of my early patterns are layer cake friendly.
Yeah.
Because that's what Moda was sending me and to use.
Memory lane.
So off of that, then, is there a pre-cut that would be more difficult to use or for more advanced quilters or sewers?
Here's what I'm going to say on that. I think pre-cuts are made to make your life easier. So I really don't think there's a more difficult pre-cut. Do I kind of groan when I'm like, I got to iron that fat eighth. I got to iron that fat quarter bundle. Like that's my only thing that maybe puts me back on time. I'm sitting there like, I do not want to be ironing. I want to be sewing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I feel like
the charms difficult.
And the layer cakes and the jelly roll, you don't need to iron them before you use them, but the fat eighths and the fat quarters need to be ironed first. So it does give you another time.
And I don't know if you're this way, but after I'm done ironing all of the fat eighths or fat quarters, I have to trim.
Like, yes.
I have to make it like a perfect edge.
Yes.
Or it drives me insane. Yes. I go crazy.
Yeah.
I just can't handle it.
So maybe not any more difficult to use, but more time consuming.
More time consuming. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and what we do is, this just shows you how much time it really does save. When we get our sample yardage and we're making a new quilt, whether it's a fat eighth or a fat quarter quilt, we will cut those fat eighths or fat quarters from our sample yardage.
Yes. And to not use the pre-cuts.
And not use the pre-cuts because, saves for one thing, yeah, it saves us time. We generally don't have to iron from that sample yardage.
Yeah, no.
And we can cut that out. I mean, there's a few times you have to, but...
Sometimes, but it's like recently rolled and ready to go. Like, it's right. almost all the time, like,
and it comes
perfect.
Flat rolled. So, yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is... We can check our patterns that way too. If we've mm-hmm. designed a fat eighth quilt and we've cut ourselves a fat eighth bundle, we're checking that we can really make that quilt from that bundle.
Yeah, you're constantly making yeah. notes, doing math. Like, does this work?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Okay, so then that actually is perfectly leads into the next question is, and maybe you've already sort of answered it, but what is there one that you would say is the most versatile of all of the pre-cuts? Like, is there one that... I mean, I know that...
I think Mom answered that with the layer cake.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of thinking. Would you say that the layer cake would be the most versatile?
I think pre-cut? So. I mean, you get more fabric from the... I mean, obviously the fat quarter is probably the most versatile because it's the biggest.
Yeah, but true.
Then I would say the layer cake.
Yeah, but if you're within a budget, the layer cake for sure.
Yeah. And just yeah. like I was talking, a lot of jelly roll patterns can be made with layer cakes. In fact, my jelly roll sampler, somebody just bought it recently.
Strips.
Yeah. And they said, can I make this with a layer cake? And I said, you actually can because none of the pieces in those blocks are longer than 10 inches.
Yeah, interesting.
You just have to chop it up into 4 2.5 by 10 inch strips, but you can do it. And conversely, some layer cakes patterns can be made with a jelly roll, but not all, but a lot of jelly roll patterns can be made with a layer cake.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So then what is your favorite pre-cuts then? Go. Ooh. I think this is the time to answer that question. What's your favorite one? If you had to choose only one to keep, the rest would disappear from the face of the earth, what would you keep?
I guess the fat quarter, so I'd have more fabric, right?
I was just going to say the fat quarter because I have more fabric.
Yes.
But what about like favorite quilts to make? I mean, other than having fabric, I mean, let's say you had an endless supply of any of them. So.
Okay, I actually always say on my Instagram, I like a layer cake because I do not have to, I really don't like ironing.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I will sit there and get bored out right. of my mind. Like, my brain is just, like, when I'm reading, I can't even just read. I have to listen to music at the same time.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. Like, my brain is wild. I'll have a show on and, you know, it's weird. So I would say the layer cake because I can just cut and sew.
Interesting.
Okay. So what about yours, Mom?
I would say...
This is hard.
It's hard.
Whenever you guys have to choose one thing, you guys struggle with it.
And Billy never lets us cheat.
You know, if I'm making a pattern and it works with charm squares, I love a good charm pack. I make a lot of table runners, pillows.
Look at the quilts on the table.
I love a good charm pack, you know, and they're easy. Like Chelsea said, they don't need to be ironed.
But you need more of them.
You need more of them. In fact, I just had to break into another Bountiful Blooms charm pack yesterday.
I'm actually going to call her out.
So
this woman, of course it's a charm pack actually because she will have 16 table runners made with it.
I know. I just took a table runner to Vicky yesterday and she says, it's the Bountiful Blooms again. And I said, now my family room has everything Bountiful Blooms once I get this last one done.
Am I not surprised?
Yeah.
But that's the thing about the question. It's hypothetical, but if you had an endless supply, it doesn't matter how much you have an endless supply of them. So whatever one you want to work with, that's what's making this question. You have an endless supply of whatever one you want.
I didn't think of that, you saying that.
Yeah.
So it really does come down to what you like to work with the most.
Probably layer cake if you had an endless supply.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, what about on the designing side? Okay, so that was like working with them, designing them. Do you like, is there a favorite type of quilt design that you use for pre-cuts or does that not really matter? Do you design it first without thinking of, okay, this can use a pre-cut? Or do you go into designing a quilt thinking, I want to make a fat quarter friendly quilt.
So I do both. There are times when I am... Marion always makes fun of me because my quilts are usually very large. So I make a lot of fat quarter friendly quilts. But it is so fun for me to say, I think I could make this design I'm thinking of with the jelly roll. I think I could make this using a layer cake. And finding out if I'm correct or not is very fun for me. And it makes designing very fun. Yeah. I think that is also why I love this so much, is it's almost just like a puzzle.
Right.
And I love puzzles. I cannot.
Yeah.
Some days I'm like, you want to know what? Let's make it interesting. Let's see if I can get this out of a charm pack.
My answer is going to be pretty similar on that. Most of the time, though, I will design a quilt and then try to figure out, okay, which pre-cut is going to work the best for this.
Yeah.
But another example is the quilt on the wall. Moda asked us if we wanted honey buns with this collection, and we said, of course.
We needed a pattern to back it up.
We both needed to design a honey bun pattern, and so yeah. I thought, well, what could I do? And this was what I came up with for my honey bun pattern. Another thing is, and I actually changed something, the quilt behind Chelsea is my montage quilt.
Love that quilt.
And I originally designed it and it was going to be a fat quarter quilt, but there was going to be a lot of fabric left over. And I thought, how can I make this fat eighth friendly? And that is when I decided to do two different types of centers on the star blocks.
Yeah.
Half of them have four patches and half of them have solid squares.
Oh, I see that.
And I did that so that it would work with a fat eighth. That's how I got it to work, was by making those, because I couldn't get enough of the center squares, but I could get the patchwork centers.
Yes.
And so because the pieces were smaller. So yeah, it's like a puzzle. It's a puzzle.
Look at our brains just cooking.
So with that being said, then, maybe you don't know off the top of your head, but do you think there's a pre-cut friendly quilt that you've made the most of in your years of designing patterns?
Fat quarter.
Okay, so fat quarter for you, Chelsea?
Hands down.
For me, it might be fat eighth. And I feel like that kind of goes back to our first market, because we were so new. Mine might be fat eighth.
I'm going to go count.
Yeah, you might be surprised. We were so new. And as shop owners came around to our booth, remember we used to ask them, what kind of patterns are you looking for?
Yeah.
And a lot of the shop owners said, we'd really like more fat eighth patterns because we can kit them for our customers.
I remember this.
And they will be more inexpensive than a fat quarter. And so I feel like that really stuck with me. And I always have fat eighth patterns with every collection.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, maybe you guys could tally them up and
share
it in the future. Maybe you'll be surprised to find out. I don't know.
Ashton make a bar graph.
Yes.
or also what your like least used pre-cut might be. What do you, if you had to think about that off the top of your
charm
head?
Charm pack.
Mini charm.
And mini charm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Charm pack and mini.
Yeah. Charm and mini.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we make bigger quilts, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So then now, and maybe I should have asked this at the beginning. Now, pre-cuts, are all those ones you just listed, are those specific just to Moda?
Those are all Moda's names.
Okay.
Some of the other companies have
names
similar pre-cuts with different names. Like I think Riley Blake Jelly Roll is a Roly-Poly or something like that. So because then I think the names were trademarked that Moda used. And really, we really have Lisa Alexander
to thank
for all of those. Her brain.
She's a creative genius, basically.
And so she's the one that, you know, has come up with the different names. And there have been some other pre-cuts that we actually didn't mention that have come in and gone out of use. Maybe they just weren't being used as much. There were some triangles for a while and some big hexagons that Camille had for projects. So yeah, there have been some other ones that didn't really catch on, I feel like.
To me, so pre-cuts haven't always been around. And Kimberly talked about this when we had her on the podcast. She remembers seeing that first fat quarter bundle and realizing this is genius.
Yes.
And I think it changed the industry. I really did. I think it helped shop owners. I think it helped quilters. And it just made fabrics more versatile in a way that you could use them.
Yeah.
And I think it really skyrocketed how the industry is, but then made it more exciting for quilters because you could go in to a store and instead of standing there having to decide which were your favorites, you could say, I can have one of every piece in that collection because I adore that collection.
Right.
And now it's all here curated for me.
Yeah.
And I can make a quilt and I know it's all going to match and go together. And oh, look, there's a pattern that goes with it. It makes it really awesome and exciting to quilt. And I think it probably helps newer quilters coming in be more confident in their decisions.
Yeah, definitely. And I still remember the first Fat Quarter bundle that I purchased.
What was your first one?
It was Camille's first collection.
No way.
Yes. And somebody went to Market and got it for me at Sample Spree.
Wow.
And so I got it for a discount.
Oh my goodness.
And I still remember that. And it was so hard to start using it. Oh, it was really hard to start using it.
I can't even think. You guys, Sample Spree is so wild. It's insane. I don't even think I'm going to go.
Well, they are having it this year because
they are.
Somebody told me that they're having it. Well, oh, yeah, when I did the registration for our booth, got a thing. Do you want to be at Sample Spree?
So,
and I was like, no, so I'll be exhausted then.
I'm sure you guys have seen the videos, but when Moda does Sample Spree, they have a huge table and all of the up and coming collections, they have them out and ready and they have people that stand up to watch and make sure the bundles are being paid for and that, you know.
And it's all hands on deck.
Hands on deck.
You know, sales reps are working and
Moda is working.
Anyone that has come with the Moda team is working and
that booth.
Yes. And usually when the doors open to Sample Spree, and the purpose of Sample Spree is for shops to be able to get fabrics
to make samples
before and have them ready when the fabric ships. So the women just rush the doors. Swarm is a good word. And they go straight to the Moda booth.
I want Billy to experience.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, how long does it take for them to sell out? An hour or 30 minutes? And sometimes you run as fast as you can.
Do you think Strawberry Lemonade will be at Sample Spree?
I hope so.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope so. That would be super fun.
That is going to be so crazy.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since we've been there.
We miss Market.
Oh, well, you guys, goodness. Pretty soon you'll be there. So, now you guys touched on a few different things I want to go back to. No, it's fine. Like you pretty much answered the next question I had for you.
Oh.
But going back to different companies. So, you mentioned Riley Blake. Does pretty much every company have at least, and obviously they're different names, but do all companies offer pre-cut fabrics with those different names, and are they around the similar sizes that you listed with Moda, or is there less of a selection with other companies, or do you know?
I feel like Riley Blake has the most pre-cuts after Moda.
Yes.
And then some of the other companies, just from when we were wandering Market, I would see a lot of Charm Packs and Fat Quarters. But not everybody seemed to have layer cakes
They're similar to those. Right. They're not named Layer Cakes and Charm Packs. And okay.
I feel like a lot of people have little mini charms that you could get from other companies.
Yeah.
So I have a few from other companies.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure because I didn't know and didn't know if those were across all fabric companies or if they were specifically for different companies.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe you know a specific time. Chelsea sort of mentioned, you both mentioned it, but that's why I was wondering, how long have they been around for? When you got that first pre-cut mom, was it fairly new at that point? Were they around in the 1990s?
There were pre-cuts before. I'm trying to think. I would say at the end of the 90s, there were definitely Fat Quarter bundles. Okay. I'd probably have to ask Lisa for the exact date, but I know I had seen them before I bought one. I remember there was a Fat Quarter bundle at a quilt shop that I used to go to in the late 90s, probably 99 or even maybe 2000, I remember. And I'm certain that Charm Packs were around then too, but I'm just not sure the exact year.
Yeah, the exact date.
So even before they became more popular, were you just strictly buying fabric on bolts?
Yes.
And that's it. So there was no pre-cuts that you were purchasing, at least
part of a new era.
Like the quilt that I made the quilt that I made for you, my first big mm-hmm. quilt with grandma. Yeah, we bought yardage.
Yeah.
For that. Even though looking at it now, it would some pre-cuts would have made that a lot easier.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, this is really interesting though, because mom, I always had to have a purple quilt, and it was time for a new one because we moved into a new house and I got a bigger bed, and we went to the quilt shop.
Yeah.
And she said, "Go pick like 8 or 9 different prints," and I went and just grabbed the most obnoxious purples I could find. Yeah. And yeah, we didn't even, I never even knew about a pre-cut then.
Yeah, we just got bolts, and yeah, I just got bolts. Half yard of everything or something.
It was really wild. The previous purple quilt was very soft and dainty, and this one was like, wapow, wapow.
Yeah.
And so that was like around 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
When did I do that purple quilt for your, well, we
2005.
Moved.
2005.
Yeah, probably 2005.
2005, because okay. Billy had graduated. We moved. We built the new house. It was 6 months into eighth grade.
Yeah, wow.
It's pretty detailed there, okay. Chelsea.
I remember because.
I just knew I was leaving, so I.
We that's had right. to stay in a rental for 6 months.
Oh my goodness.
And
while we built our house.
I have to share this story. Oh. I must. The quilters must know. Billy went to college. He played college basketball, and he didn't have to live in the rental. So my sister gets a room with a bathroom ensuite, and my brother gets a regular room. And you want to know what room I got, you guys? I got a back room with artifact weaponry all over the wall.
Okay, wait. We have to explain.
Tell you,
we have to explain
there was
the
like
rental.
Daggers and knives and hatchets, and they were like, "We're just gonna shove a mattress in here." And I was like, "Okay, everything's fine." And I would go to sleep at night and be mortified and read journals from the 1800s. It was crazy.
So this was, let me just get a little
there's
background.
An explanation. It wasn't my
there's
mom's ancient weaponry.
Exactly. So we were building this house at the height of the building craze in, you know, we were building this house in 2004.
Yeah.
And there were no rentals available in our city anywhere. And so I had a friend whose parents were gone, and they were actually doing a service mission for our church. And so their house was empty, but all of their furnishings, all of their dishes, everything was in the house. The great thing was they had this detached garage where we were able to store all of our boxes and our furniture.
So they didn't have to get a separate rental storage unit.
Right. We didn't have to
It was huge.
Right. But we had to move in their house with all their stuff. And there were a few things that didn't fit in that garage that we had to put in the house. So
it was a maze.
It was pretty crowded and cramped. It probably wouldn't have passed fire code. We were there 6 months. And yes, the husband was some type of scientist.
Yes.
And he collected all of these specimens of animals, and he collected.
There were specimens in the room.
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah, and ancient artifacts. He was really into anthropology and all of this stuff. And
note
Chelsea,
keywords, people. Note the keywords of anthropology.
Chelsea was in the museum room, we should call it.
So I have taken it as my parents think I'm the most resilient child.
The least likely to have nightmares. Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
Oh, good memories, though. Good memories. We had some great neighbors.
It must have been a 4-bedroom house because you and Candace and Sean each had your own
all
room.
All had our own rooms.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that all came about.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's staying
it is
in
interesting
the podcast.
Because I was just trying to wonder when you made that quilt where you were not, where you were using bolted fabric rather than. Yeah. Pre-cuts.
Sorry,
and so getting back to us in 2005, that they must not have been even that prevalent because you went and bought a bunch of fabric off of Bolt.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so it must have been sometime after that where they, because now, I bet if you were to go make that same quilt, you would, and just say you didn't, you know, you went to a quilt shop, you would probably buy pre-cut fabrics, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
Yeah. And Billy never really did have to live in that house because the house, our house that we were building got done on December 23rd.
Yep.
And we moved in and Billy came home from college and slept in the new house.
Yeah.
For Christmas break.
Yep. We moved into it. Billy got his wisdom teeth out and then he left.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I remember the most random things.
Yeah. And he got eye surgery.
And he got eye surgery. And yeah, LASIK. Guys, I can't. I have all these strange memories of my childhood.
So last one, and I knew this topic would take up the whole podcast. Would you say then, because of pre-cuts, that it has like boost, and then you said it earlier too, Chelsea, has it boosted the popularity of quilting? Has it made it easier for people to get into it?
Absolutely. And
pre-cuts obviously have become more popular over the last 10 years, you'd say?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think because it's such a time saver.
Yeah, it's such a positive for the quilting community too, and just makes it very fun and
Yeah, and once a new quilter realizes how much time they can save by using a pre-cut, I think they're sold.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree.
I will say, you know, I went to that show this past week that we talked about, the Peach Days quilt show, and I actually had some Bountiful Blooms pre-cuts with me.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, and so this is interesting. The Fat Quarter and the Fat Eighth bundles sold first.
Okay. Oh, you had more than one, so you know. Okay, cool.
And the layer cakes all sold. The only thing I came home with were a couple jelly rolls.
Yeah. How do you resist the bundles, though? You guys, I can't. I'm over here like ordering a whole bunch of stuff because
I feel like a few women came up before the show started, and I didn't want to sell the fabric until after the presentation, but they wanted the bundle, so they put it under the table so that it could be theirs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was covered all the questions I had, at least, and more.
Yeah, so, that was a great topic.
That was a great topic, I think, for today's podcast.
When I was putting everything together, I was trying to think of a second topic and said, you know, we probably have enough, but just in case. But so we have another topic that we'll talk about in the next podcast. And,
yeah. And one more thing about this. We have filmed some videos in the past where I've done layer cake quilts and, you know, I borrowed some of your quilts and mine and I've done it with jelly roll and all the different pre-cuts. But somebody actually recently emailed me and she said, you need to revamp those videos because
there's so many new quilts.
Yeah. You and your daughter have come out with new patterns for those pre-cuts. And I thought, you know what? She's right. I need to go back. I need to watch all of those videos. And then I need to, you know, find out from you, okay, what are all of your, I'll be able to tell by the fabric collections, and then we need to revisit those.
All right. So that'll be coming up then, I think. Yeah,
that'll be cool.
And we could take turns doing them too, maybe.
Also, I just want to say this year we are doing a Christmas home tour video.
Yes.
With both of ours, I'm revamping that.
Yes, both homes. I agree. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
A reason to decorate early.
Reasons to decorate. Okay, so our next podcast episode is going to air Monday, October 9th. We will be right into all the holidays coming up.
Yes.
So it's coming up soon. And I love today's podcast episode. That was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of good information.
Yes.
Especially, for a new or intermediate quilter.
And memories.
Yes.
From our lives.
Sorry for the digressions. But thanks so much for stopping by.